Hi, this is Matt Kluskowski, Sony Artisan of Imagery and VP of Photography for On One, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Have fun.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 71. Should Steve McCurry be held to a rigid standard? In this episode, famed photojournalist Steve McCurry catches some flack over manipulated images, earthquakes in Japan slow production, a fool in Florida destroys a landmark, another in Portugal a really old statue, and now there's an unlikely threat to your camera drone. All that and more in episode 71 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Matt, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. If you've been around photography for a while now, you know the name Matt Kluskowski. He's a best-selling author of over 20 books, teaches around the world. He was a visible member of the Kelby One team on pretty much every show they produced, along with countless amazing tutorials. And much of what I've learned in recent years about Photoshop and Lightroom is thanks to Matt. And I know that's true of many of you as well. I don't know him personally, but he seems like a really great guy. And to see everything that he's doing these days with On One, Sony, and more, I'd love for you to check out his website at mattk.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 71 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. I think most photographers know the name Steve McCurry, and if you don't, you've definitely got to know his most famous photo, Afghan Girl, which graced the cover of National Geographic back in June of 1985, an image which is considered to be one of the most iconic of the 20th century. Well, this week, there's been a little bit of controversy involving McCurry, and I want to state right off the bat here that I don't think he was trying to deceive anyone. Just because your work is mostly known to be in the photojournalism realm doesn't mean that everything you do has to be held to that high standard. Now, of course, if you're putting photos out there and saying that it's news, you definitely have to have standards. But if it's something that you're exhibiting and it's something that's more artistic, your personal work, of course it doesn't have to have that same standard because it's not the same thing. I believe you should be allowed to present photos which aren't being put out there as being news and not catch heat for that. And that goes for someone like Steve McCurry, who's known to be a world-class photojournalist. You shouldn't be defined by one thing. You can be multiple things. For instance, in addition to photography, he's also an artist. So you can't just peg him to be a photojournalist and hold everything to that standard. That's ridiculous. So what happened with McCurry stems from a show in Italy where 250 of his photographs are on display. An Italian photographer named Paolo Viglioni was closely inspecting McCurry's work there at this show when he noticed that something just wasn't right. What he found and what he posted on his blog was an obvious digital manipulation of a street photo that McCurry shot in Cuba. Specifically, the bottom of a yellow pole from a street sign, which was moved a couple feet to the left, and roughly where it's at, a guy's foot appears to be missing. I mean, anybody who's closely looking at this photo would catch that. So why is this being made a big deal in the photography world? Well, the photo was obviously altered. McCurry is known to be a photojournalist, and it gets into a little bit of a weird area for people. People who can't see someone as being something else in addition to what they're known for. And remember, I'm a former photojournalist myself. I take these things seriously, but this particular matter, not that big of a deal. The reason we're talking about it, though, is because the photo world is talking about it, of course. And I think it needs to be covered. Everything needs to be hammered out. And you know what? Talking about these things gets people to think a little bit more about them and how they feel about these issues. And I think that's always helpful. This Italian photographer says he wasn't trying to out McCurry, and I take him at his word, but rather he just wanted to show something odd that he had found at the show. You know, people, like I said, have to blog about everything these days, post things on Twitter, Instagram, etc., and that's what he was doing. Except, it caused McCurry a little bit of ajna this week. Now, the internets being the internets, people and publications began digging and found other McCurry photos which appear to have been altered. That was definitely not helpful. In one image of boys running through a wet field playing a game, a boy was allegedly removed from behind another boy, and more of the natural setting was cloned in, mostly trees and grass and such. In another image, a whole lot of it was allegedly altered. Two people, two carts, and a light pole, allegedly. Well, the Petapixel mothership reached out to Steve McCurry, and after some back and forth, got a statement from the man himself. Since he deserves to be heard, I'm going to read his statement in full here, so bear with me. It's not too long. And in that statement, McCurry says, quote, "My career started almost 40 years ago when I left home to travel and photograph throughout South Asia. I went into Afghanistan with a group of Mujahideen in 1979 and thus became a photojournalist when news magazines and newspapers picked up my pictures, published them around the world, and gave me assignments to provide more images of the war. Later on, I covered other wars and civil conflicts in the Middle East and elsewhere, and produced photo essays for magazines, but like many other artists, my career has gone through many stages. Today, I would define my work as visual storytelling, because the pictures have been shot in many places, for many reasons, and in many situations. Much of my recent work has been shot for my own enjoyment in places I wanted to visit to satisfy my curiosity about the people and the culture. For example, my Cuba work was taken during 4 personal trips. My photography is my art, and it's gratifying when people enjoy and appreciate it. I have been fortunate to be able to share my work with people around the world. I try to be as involved as much as I can in reviewing and supervising the printing of my work, but many times the prints are printed and shipped when I am away. That is what happened in this case. It goes without saying that what happened with this image was a mistake for which I have to take responsibility. I have taken steps to change procedures in my studio which will prevent something like this from happening again." End quote. Now, as a former photojournalist myself, I get what he's saying here. I can tinker with photos all I want now because I'm not working for a newspaper, and that's very freeing. McCurry did a couple of interviews with Italian publications saying that the issue with the Cuba image and that yellow pole was, quote, "a change that I would never have authorized," end quote, and that, quote, "the lab technician who made the mistake does not work with me anymore," end quote. As of this recording on Thursday, May 12, 2016, the Petapixel mothership has yet to hear back from McCurry's camp about the additional images which have allegedly been altered. But in one of those articles, he says that it's okay to make contrast and tone alterations if something is distracting, but that, quote, "moving elements," end quote, should not be done. Again, these images are his personal work, not photojournalism. They're street photography, and as such, shouldn't be held to such strict journalistic standards, no matter who he just happens to be, one of the best photojournalists of all time. That said, someone in his camp perhaps made some alterations that he doesn't seem to approve of, and he's been dealing with that. You know what, though? When you're mostly known for your work in photojournalism, especially, I think it's incumbent upon you to be very clear when your work has been manipulated. Otherwise, things like this happen, and they need not. Now, will anyone even remember this a year from now, let alone decades from now? Heck no. It's not a huge deal. But I chose to cover it because, aside from the story on Petapixel, several listeners have asked me about it. Time Magazine's even written a story about this. And I think it's a good idea to cover these things and get it all out there and move on. So there you go. Unless something scandalous comes out regarding these photos, such as McCurry having passed them off to wire services, magazines, etc., as the truth, no harm, no foul, I say. Next. As many of you know, in mid-April 2016, a number of earthquakes hit the Kumamoto region of southern Japan, and as a result, some of the biggest names in the camera-making business are still recovering. Those companies include the likes of Sony, Nikon, and Fujifilm, as they either have factories or suppliers in the affected region. Now, as we all know, Sony has a massive chunk of the sensor-making business. They not only make sensors for their cameras, but for many Nikon cameras and smartphones as well. Well, Sony issued a press release just 2 days after the quakes, stating that its camera sensor factory in Kumamoto had to be shut down and production suspended due to damage to the building and its manufacturing lines. Now, as for Fujifilm, they reported earlier in May 2016 that their factory there is back up and running, and by the end of the month, they should be back to the levels that they were before the quakes hit. In the meantime, though, they're having to inspect all the camera gear in its warehouse and certify them as being undamaged, of course. And that's going to take some time. You know, if you follow these things, you know that Fujifilm is a great company. They take really good care of its customers. They seem to take a lot better care of its customers than many of the other manufacturers from what I've seen. And they're offering to repair damaged Fujifilm gear at a 50% discount for photographers in Japan whose gear was directly damaged as a result of the quakes. That's pretty cool. If you're wondering about Nikon, they announced back on April 20th, 2016, that production and sales would be affected as some of its suppliers suffered damage, and as a result, Nikon Rumors is reporting that many of the company's rebates and promotional offers are being canceled. Now, recently we've heard that Nikon's D500 is kind of hard to come by, and many are attributing that to the quakes, of course, and that makes a lot of sense. We haven't seen it just yet, but don't be surprised that these companies increase their prices a little bit to make up for losses. I mean, I'm sure they have great insurance, of course, but we almost always see companies use that as an excuse to inch up their prices and make a little bit more money during these times. So we'll see. Keep an eye out for that. It's going to take a little time, of course, for things to get back on track, but they will. No one needs to worry about that. But in the meantime, if there is a piece of gear, a camera, lens, flash, whatever that you need soon, now might be the time to buy it. It might be hard to get some of these cameras and lenses and such for a little bit here. So if you have a wedding coming up and you need a Nikon 70-200-28, maybe make that purchase this week. Next. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If your photography causes harm, you are doing it wrong. Apparently, some people are just too dense to get that, though. You know, people who play with fire atop or near wooden structures, not so bright. These people actually walk among us. I mean, who knows what else they're getting away with, right? Well, once again, a photographer has destroyed something that did not belong to them, something that's never coming back. And like that shipwreck that we told you about in Point Reyes, California back in February, the latest landmark was the victim of the super unoriginal steel wool photography and a fool. I just don't know how else to describe someone who thinks it's a good idea to be generating sparks near something that's actually flammable. I mean, come on, that was not a good idea from the start. And it's almost always guys. Women have more sense than guys when it comes to this stuff. No doubt about it. You never see women burning things down. It's always guys. Well, we learned that in April, a fire completely leveled a historic 1920s gas station called Monroe Station in South Florida's Big Cypress National Preserve. Something, like I said, that once it's gone, is gone for good. According to a statement by the preserve, quote, Big Cypress law enforcement rangers investigated all leads and within 48 hours focused in on a person of interest. The primary suspect, a man from South Florida, turned himself in on April 11, 2016. The suspect confessed to entering Monroe Station and climbing onto the roof to conduct spinning, also known as painting with light. Spinning involves taking a piece of steel wool that is lit and swinging it in a circular fashion, which produces a photo similar to a giant sparkler. Two additional men from the ground photographed the event. It appears that during the photography activity, a fire was sparked. The three men stated that they tried to put the fire out, but it spread too quickly and they fled the scene. End quote. So that's just wonderful, huh? Who could have seen this coming? Well, just about anyone with sense. I mean, I guess between the three men, none of them thought that this might have a bad outcome. Sparks and old wood, oh, that can't ever end up in a fire, except for it usually does. And as a result, another historic landmark, which many people enjoyed, is now a sooty mess. Now, I'm not calling for a ban on steel wool photography, of course, but come on, it's well past cliche now. Completely unoriginal and boring. Everyone's trying to outdo each other, and then they come up with these harebrained ideas. Like, you know what? In my backyard, swinging this lit steel wool, not really exciting. What can I do? Let's go somewhere historic, somewhere nice and wooden, and let's swing this around and see what happens. Yeah, not a good idea, guys. Reader Rick L. Mower over in the comments on this story had this to say, quote, Why the hell is this even a thing? This is not photography, but plain old stupidity and vandalism. This is the second story I've seen where someone has burned down a landmark. Please just stop. End quote. I couldn't agree more, of course. You know, foolish people ruin things for the rest of us. Their plan went swimmingly well, wouldn't you say? No. As a result, these guys are facing charges. And you know what? Maybe they shouldn't be doing any photography anytime soon. Or at least nothing that involves sparks. Good job. Way to go. Next. Okay, this could be the stupidest episode yet. I should probably explain, huh? I just told you about the fools in Florida that burned down Monroe Station with their steel wool spinning. But stupidity knows no limits, nor boundaries, as halfway across the globe, or maybe a third of the way, I don't know, I didn't measure it, a young man in Portugal had what he thought would be an amazing idea for a selfie. The ill-advised plan required the 24-year-old man to climb the 7 or 8 feet or so necessary to get beside the statue of 16th-century child king Dom Sebastião, but things went horribly, horribly wrong from that point on. According to reports, the man bumped into the statue while trying to get this unique photo and knocked it from the pedestal it stood atop there at Rossio Railway Station in Lisbon, a place where it was nice and safe for the past 126 years. That is, until this guy got to it. This was a really heavy statue and apparently stayed in place due to its weight. I guess they figured 126 years ago that people would never think to climb up there and disturb it, right? Yet someone did, and for a completely pointless reason. Ironically, the real king met his end in battle at age 24, the same age as the man who destroyed his statue. That's neither here nor there, but still. One led a nation, the other destroying property while taking a photo of himself. Now, the man tried to flee the scene but was caught by police, and he'll be answering for this later on when he faces a judge. Let's hope that this doesn't define his life, though. I mean, that would be pretty sad. I wish I knew how to say next in Portuguese, but I don't. Next. So you're going about your business, flying your camera drone 20 feet or so over a crowd in Russia. Hey, it could happen. At one of those Renaissance-type festivals where everyone is dressed in period garb, spears and all, and I think you see where this is going. That's right. Not only do you have to worry about trained drone hunting birds, anti-drone bazookas, and people with shotguns downing your drone, you can now add to that list nerds with spears. Gennady Tolchayev was capturing the event from the air with his drone to the displeasure of a man who took it upon himself to chuck a spear at his drone and with a direct hit took it down, no doubt thanks to the countless hours of dressing up and playing with pointy sticks rather than seeking out a girlfriend, a life, and a way to get out of mom's basement. A kid, of course, but seriously though, that was pretty stupid. For one, it's not cool to damage someone else's property like that. I mean, that was a $1,000 drone. I don't know how many rubles that is, or whatever currency they use these days in Russia, but it was a lot of them. Now, the video doesn't reveal what happened after the drone crashed to the ground, but I'm guessing the drone's owner had some words with that guy, and they might have even fought it out. You never know. I think most of us would be pretty darn upset if someone threw anything at our drone and destroyed it like that. Not cool. It was uncalled for, and you just can't be doing things like that, especially if you're going to call yourself an adult. And you know what? That spear could have hit someone on the way down, in addition to the drone crashing onto somebody. So yeah, this guy wasn't very bright. Great shot, just not very bright. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 71 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you're not comfortable doing that, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm LensShark. That's LenSShark. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 72. Well, it's F8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.